Thank you. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. The time is 1:00. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Second Speaker Rivard.
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Chair Good Fox.
Present. Next item on our agenda is approval, oh, prayer. Congressman Walker, will you say our afternoon prayer, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the pretty weather, and I thank you for the rain, Lord. I just ask that you be with this committee as they go over legislation that affects those that we serve, Lord. Just thank you for the ability to serve. And again, just lead us, guide us, protect us. And you just be with those that are in the most in need, Lord, our children, our elders. Lord, just please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes.
Speaker Stabler, motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 No opposed, motion carries. The next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCA 2141, an act to establish the formal standards used to promote health and general welfare of the Osage people, culture, economy, and natural resources through food and agricultural production, to add Chapter 4 to the Osage Nation Food and Agriculture Act. The sponsor is Congresswoman Lemon. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. I do believe, I just wanted to ask before I go any further if everyone has received the amendment that we spoke about and had time to review it. At this time, before going any further, I'd like to make a motion to amend ONCA 2141, page 2, line 54, insert the following new definition. G, Osage Nation Food Facility means an operation owned by the Osage Nation that serves, prepares, packages, serves, vends, or otherwise provides food for human consumption at the retail level, including, but not limited to, an operation where food is consumed on or off the premises, regardless of whether there is a charge for the food.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor with a second. Clerk? Was that amendment,
yes, ma'am.
Was that amendment sent out to us?
Yes, it was 2 days ago, and then you can also see it on the calendar invite.
Okay, all right. Give us just 1 minute, Congresswoman Lemon.
Certainly.
Chair, it's Rivard. I have a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
Caitlin, are the two attachments on the calendar invite, are they different? There's two different committee amendment forms, or two attachments. Are they the same?
They're the same. I meant to attach it once. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, do you want to explain your amendment, or do you want to speak to your amendment and just tell us what it does before we vote on it?
Certainly, I'd be glad to. Ultimately, we were visiting about the what is an Osage Nation food facility, and I believe when we got we had technical issues in our last meeting, and we were talking about it at that moment, at that time, if I do believe my memory serves me right, and we were talking about adding a new definition on what an actual Osage Nation food facility means, and what it means to, you know, and ultimately the consensus, I believe it might have been second speaker who said, and I could be wrong, that, you know, of course, if we can always get more definitions and get and be able to define situations or places, that it helps us with our legislation. And so that's why I decided to add it. It does, on page 3 of this bill, line 127, you'll see where it talks about an Osage Nation food facility. And my question was to myself, of course, in looking through it, what is an Osage Nation food facility? You know, where does that fit in? And so I asked for some assistance from legal counsel to help me come up with a definition for what Osage Nation food facility is. And I just wanted to be clear on what we see as an Osage Nation food facility.
Do the members have, the members of the committee have any questions, or any members that are listening in?
I have a question.
Congressman Walker.
Curious about the retail verbiage in there. Kind of wondering if, say, for instance, somebody takes a cow to be butchered and processed, just say if it was an individual, yeah, they would be paying for the processing fee, but I wouldn't necessarily, but I wouldn't consider that to be retail. Which may be kind of cutting hairs or splitting hairs a little bit, but the retail portion just kind of jumped out at me. But I realize also, if you don't put retail level in there, then that is a very broad definition. So something along the lines of retail, I was just wanting to maybe get just a little bit of feedback from the sponsor or anyone else on the committee. I was just, that's the only portion of it that kind of jumped out at me.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman Walker, for that. So if jumping on down to the last part of the definition, that says regardless of whether there is a charge for the food. So I think to me that says, and I mean, that, you know, that would be the example, I guess, that you would say that you're going to take one of your cattle to the butcher, which would be our meat market, and you're paying for the processing fee, but you're not paying for the food that you're getting back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I read that in a similar fashion. I was just trying to process that before it got voted on. So anyway, I'm good.
Thank you. Any other member? We're still in discussion to the amendment that's being proposed. Has a second. If there's no other comments or questions, then clerk will do a roll call vote.
Chair, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Second Speaker Rivard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Yes.
And Chair Goodfox?
Yes. The amendment passes. Please continue, Ms. Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee. So we're back to the bill now that it's been amended with a new definition, and ultimately, at this point, could just take questions from any of the committee members who, you know, would like to further discuss this particular bill. I do want to note that Chapter 5, which was 2140, actually left committee a couple of days ago, or yesterday, when we had a meeting. And this is Chapter 4, which defines a lot of definitions that are actually in Chapter 5 that we passed out yesterday. And there's a couple of Scribner's errors on page 4, line 152. I visited with Trey about it. He says that they can be fixed in engrossment. In paragraph C, the 1 and the 2 will be marked as A and B once they get to engrossment, if we get that far with it, if anybody noticed that little Scribner's error there. But ultimately, if anybody has any questions at this time concerning the definitions or any other parts, we do have Jan Heyman on the line, I believe, and I don't know if Carly Hotvet's on here. I do want to note one other place that I'd like to put a little bit of reference to, which is on page 5, and it's called, and it's, if you notice, on line 201 and 202, there is a line there that says Osage Nation's Animal Health Feeding Standards. This particular piece is not in this legislation because it will come in a later chapter of the food code, the model food code, during the livestock and animal chapters. So if anybody has any questions.
Committee.
Chair, I have a question.
Second Speaker Rivar, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I was looking at Section 4-102, and it talks about wild game and the fence to waste, and that it states that any person who kills wild game within our boundaries, you know, can get that the offense carries up to $250. And I was just wondering, because I don't know, I can guess, but what's the definition of wild game? I understand the waste of game, but it's not defined here, and I was just curious as to what wild game is.
Chairwoman, it's on page line 91.
Congressman Walker?
It's defined on line 91-0.
Second Speaker, did you hear the response?
Oh, okay. I do. Thank you, Congressman Walker. I do see that. I was looking under W. Okay. I got you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any more questions, comments? Congressman Walker, you have something?
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about Section 4-102. So,
go ahead.
Everybody needs to read it for themselves, but any person who kills wild game within the jurisdictional boundaries of the Osage Nation and causes it to go to waste is guilty of an offense. Okay? Right? That makes sense. Then it says such offense carries with it a minimum of $250 for each animal wasted. Okay. Who's going to ticket that person? And we're talking about, I want to wrap this all up into one conversation. And then it talks about in C, any person violating this section shall have their hunting privileges revoked for one calendar year from the date of the sentencing in addition to the fine. Well, this says any person within the jurisdictional boundaries. So that says that regardless of whether they're Osage Native or not, whether they're on Osage Nation-owned land, restricted or trust land, that if they violate any section or this section, that they're going to have their hunting privileges revoked. So let's say if it's Joe Blow, who has a lifetime hunting and fishing license issued by the state of Oklahoma. How does that work? How would we pull that off?
Congresswoman Lemon, would you like to respond?
Okay, so thank you, Congressman Walker. And I'm going to also get input from some of the other folks that are subject matter experts in this particular piece. But I can tell you that they're going to help with this. But wild game on our reservation is under the jurisdiction of Osage Nation. And if I'm not mistaken, a lot of this same conversation, and Congressman Walker, I guess you might be able to recall this, was talked about when we did the wildlife regulations before I was on Congress. And so I'm going to refer to Jan and Carly Hotvet, who are on the line with us, to join in the discussion, if that's all right.
Okay, who are you going to give the floor to, Jan first or Carly?
Sure. Go ahead, Jan.
Thank you. I'm going to take a quick stab at it, and then I might actually refer it to Morgan a little bit further. But I do want to at least mention that the offense to waste of game is in the wildlife codes that we had already passed. So it's already addressed in another legislation. And I'm going to defer to Morgan on the question referring to the jurisdictional boundaries and how that plays into the conversation. Morgan, do you mind?
No, I don't mind. Chairwoman Good Fox and members of the committee, thank you. Jan's right, we had this conversation across the wildlife regulation. And when we're talking about our jurisdictional boundaries, it's in the best interest of the nation not to limit our jurisdiction, especially in our own laws. So we know where our jurisdiction is and is not. So this will be enforced where we know we have jurisdiction. And it will only be enforced against people that we know we have jurisdiction over. So there are a lot of things going on right now, especially after the McGirt decision, that could have potential effects on the Osage Nation and our reservation status. So it's best that we write these laws as broadly as we can and keep asserting jurisdiction, because that's our sovereignty. As far as the revoking of the hunting license, Jan or Carly can correct me if I'm wrong, but we would only have the authority to revoke their Osage Nation hunting license. And as far as who is going to enforce these laws, we are still having internal discussions about the potential of hiring a game ranger and or trying to find someone or training someone within OMPD or getting someone within OMPD to enforce this particular provision and also our wildlife laws. So that's all still in the works. So if there's anything I haven't covered, Carly, please feel welcome to step in, or Congressman Walker, if you have any other questions, just be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Ms. Curry?
Chair Good Fox.
Hold on just one second, Congressman King. Carly, was that you that I heard?
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to echo my consensus with Jan and Morgan's statements. Those are correct. And the sovereignty considerations of wild game, which is considered to be a natural resource of the Osage Nation, is why the statute has been drafted as broadly as it has been.
Thank you. Congressman Keene?
Just to refresh here, we're saying the jurisdictional boundaries of the Osage Nation is all of Osage County. Is that correct?
Chairwoman Goodfox, may I answer that?
Yes.
It's Morgan.
Go ahead.
Yes. So when we refer to our Osage jurisdictional boundaries, we're referring directly, referencing back to our Osage Constitution, which is the original boundaries of the reservation, which is concurrent with Osage County.
Okay, thank you. Because I share Congressman Walker's concern a bit during an earlier committee meeting. I think I addressed a provision about checking the farms, and I guess DNR would do that. So I think that's good. But I do think it's good that we're setting like a foundation where we get a law in place, and then maybe we don't have the resources now, but at least the law's there, and when we get the resources, we can properly enforce the law. So I think that's good. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Any other members of Congress?
Yes, Chair. This is Rebard.
Second speaker, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple more questions. So on the same section, 4-102C, where it says that they shall also have their hunting privileges revoked for one calendar year, are we referencing the hunting leases that have been approved through real estate services? And, you know, what if I have restricted property and I choose not to go through real estate services for my hunting? And then my next question is from the date of sentencing. So would that sentencing take place, I guess, in our tribal court, I would imagine? And I guess that's the anyone that may know.
Does anyone have Carly, Jan, Morgan, Brandy? Does anyone have a response for second speaker Rebard?
Carly Codbett, and I have a response to a component of that question.
Okay, go ahead. Are you there? Hello?
I am. Can you? Sorry, yeah, I didn't hear an affirmative. Go ahead to answer.
Chair, can you hear me? It's Jody.
I can hear you.
Okay. I think, I believe that was Carly.
It was.
I think she was trying to respond.
Carly, can you hear us?
I can, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. If you want to respond, go ahead.
Okay. So the section that's referenced discusses hunting privileges. That's drafted to encompass permitted and unpermitted hunting, regardless of location within the jurisdictional boundaries, in order to encompass permitted hunting if a tribe does have a permit system set up, but also in consideration reflecting the inherent, food gathering and sourcing rights that may be encompassed by a tribal treaty within the tribe's jurisdictional authority. So that the hunting privileges component is intended to be all-encompassing.
Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so yeah, I was thinking that when you say hunting privileges, if you revoke that, then are you saying then real estate services, if you have a hunting lease and an approved hunting lease, real estate services would be the one that would revoke that privilege?
Madam Chair, I can respond.
Yes, go ahead.
So the way that this particular statute is drafted, there's no indication that Realty Services would be the entity to enforce that provision. I think a hunting lease is separate, could be arguably separate from a hunting privilege. This would be an instance where regulations could further inform how this is enforced as far as what entity is charged with doing the enforcement. I think from a legal perspective, and Morgan can clarify to be more specific with Osage Nation nuance, a hunting lease is separate from a hunting privilege. One is like a right to access land, and the other is the right to actually harvest regardless of the location.
Madam Chair, this is Melissa Curry. Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Melissa.
Or maybe it's not so much a question as my understanding of the nation's hunting laws are that they only apply to land that the nation owns. I don't think that this spills over onto our individually owned restricted land. That, you know, that would be the property that we have the leases on. Not that we don't have hunting, we do have hunting leases for the nation, but I don't think that law spills over to individually owned property.
This is Brandy.
Brandy, and then Jody, was that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so Brandy and then Jody.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize. I did get disconnected a few moments ago, so I was trying to chime in for Congresswoman Rebard's question. And my understanding on this particular, and you guys might have already gone over it, but my understanding on this particular paragraph C is that this has to do with an individual for privilege to actually hunt, not a person who owns the land and wants to lease it out. That's a completely, in my view, purview, and I could be wrong. This has to do with an individual who's getting their right to their privilege to be able to hunt on our jurisdictional boundaries removed, not taking away your ability as a landowner to lease the land for hunting. And I may have missed it, but you guys could tell me if I did that somebody already addressed that piece of it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Morgan.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Ms. Curry and Brandy are correct. Those hunting licenses and the right to hunt game that we permit is only applies to Osage Nation owned property. So it would not apply to an individual hunting on their own land or an individual hunting on an individual member's restricted property. So, and I think it would also depend on how, I'm assuming that this would come out of a ticket and a court order. So, but yeah, I agree with Carly and with what Brandy's saying is that it's not going to apply to individuals in that way, and it's only going to apply to Osage Nation owned property.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I was just wanting to clarify that because I guess in A it says any person who kills wild game within the jurisdictional boundaries, which would include, you know, individual landowners. I was just curious if that, you know, the lease from that was approved through real estate services, if that would apply. And is that somewhere else in our legislation that we're looking at that states that this excludes individual landowners, or is that something, you know, was that the intent?
Is that for Congresswoman Lemon?
I guess that would be to anybody because that may be able to answer, because I was thinking if someone were to come on my land and I have a lease with them and say the leaser violates this, are you saying then it doesn't apply because they have a lease with the individual landowner? So you could violate on an individual land owner's on their land. Let me restate. Sorry. You are not allowed to violate on the Osage Nation owned property, but you can on an individual's land. I guess I'm unclear. Am I making this too complex? Because I'm known to do that. I apologize. I'm just looking for wanting to know how it applies to individual landowners, which of course the nation is, or could, you know, in an undivided interest.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just wondering how this would apply.
Congresswoman Lemon, would you like to respond? Congresswoman Lemon, are you still there? Okay. I see her name is still up there. She went from green to red. Don't know.
Hello, I do apologize. I am having technical difficulties.
Okay, would you like to respond to Congresswoman Rebard's question?
Well, I don't know exactly what she talked about other than the fact that she was, if she was to lease land herself and then the leaser or the lessee would, anyways, if she could repeat it, I apologize.
Okay, I think I'll try to do this. I'm glad Melissa's on the call. I think maybe Melissa might know what I've tried to say. I hope, maybe not. Don't laugh, Melissa. I'm trying to say if I lease my land to a hunter and that lease is held within real estate services, or not.
We need everyone to mute their phones. We're getting feedback in the gallery. Thank you. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rebard.
Okay, thank you. So I guess what Morgan had alluded to was that this only applies to people on Osage Nation owned properties. This is the way that I heard what she said, but I'm saying as an individual landowner, if someone were to violate that and have wild game waste on my land, are you saying it doesn't apply? Would it get fined or sentenced? Is that what you're saying?
I'm about to stop this discussion and postpone this legislation. We've got too many people. I don't know if someone's driving and has their window down. But it's very difficult to hear, and people are breaking up and getting disconnected, and it's getting to be very difficult. So, Congresswoman Rebard, I'm going to allow for Morgan Curry or Carly to respond to your question if they can, and or Jan Heyman. Morgan, can you take a first response, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Carly and I are kind of having a side conversation because I wasn't involved in the drafting of this legislation, but I was involved in the wildlife laws, which we did limit to individuals. So the way this is written, it would apply to everyone on all property, but as far as revoking someone's hunting privileges, DNR would only have the authority to revoke on Osage Nation owned. So it would honestly depend on how the court order is written, if they're found to be in violation. Carly, I don't know if you want to take the floor for a minute, maybe further explain that. I'm just trying to work through the differences and make sure that our laws don't contradict one another.
Sure. I think that we have a couple of different issues to address here. One, the way that it's drafted, it's drafted broadly to ensure that the tribe has as much jurisdictional authority over any individual that's in violation of the statute. Now, as Osage Nation is working through its jurisdictional authorities, how that actually applies with regard to Osage Nation held land or, you know, restricted land or other trust land that's within the jurisdictional boundaries, I think that's, an issue that would need to be resolved internally. The other question, and I want to get a little bit more clarification. I think the issue was if an individual who has a lease on a restricted piece of property comes in and commits waste on that property, I'm trying to figure out if the question is, will that individual still be held responsible, or will the leaseholder have any negative consequences? Is that what the question is?
Chair, it's Jody.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yeah, no, thank you, Carly. No, and I'm not saying that the owner, I'm saying the hunter. So say they have a lease through real estate services and they commit the offense. Does this apply to them if the crime is committed on an individual landowner's property?
Okay, so this particular section is actually a civil penalty and is not considered a criminal penalty. So there's a little bit of a nuanced distinction there. And that's why it's able to be a little bit more broad. I would defer to Morgan for the interpretation as far as how enforcement could work on restricted property.
Ms. Curry?
Chair, this
Ms. Curry.
Morgan, if I may. Yes, we would... This is something we could possibly, or well, we will have to work out through regulations in collaboration with the Real Estate Services Office. I know that we've always, I don't want to say been hands off on our restricted landowners, but there's, you know, a delicate balance there that we have always tried to keep. So this is going to require probably another internal discussion about how this is going to apply.
Congressman
Keene, go ahead.
But with it being,
go ahead, Ms. Curry, and then Congressman Keene.
With it being a civil matter, it would apply to everyone within our jurisdictional boundaries, which we do have jurisdiction over. So, as written.
Thank you.
We want to tailor that out and make it more specific, we can do that within regulation.
Thank you. Congressman Keene.
Morgan kind of answered what I was going to say, so I have two thoughts. Section 4, the way I read it, it just applies to all land in Osage County. That's one. The second thought is this. It's kind of what Jody mentioned. So an Osage that has, maybe Morgan already answered this, restricted land here in Osage County, does the whole bill, all these regs in here, this law applies to them too, right? Not just Osage land. The way this is written, that applies to their individual land in Osage County also that they own. Is that correct?
Yes, that's how I read it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to, because I was thinking, because even like in the state, if you have a front yard, I mean, there's still laws that, you know, the state still governs that jurisdiction. So, yeah, that just helps clear it up. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemon.
So one thing that I do want to stress at this particular point is that a lot of what can be defined in the regulations through the Administrative Procedures Act will come into play with assisting a more clear area to say that what Morgan was talking about earlier concerning restricted land and, of course, the land held in trust would come in the regulation phase to make the difference there. And I believe, Morgan, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's correct. I think that this is something we could make possibly flesh out in regulation. And Carly's recommending that we change guilty to liable on line 114, that they would just be liable for an offense. So it doesn't appear to be, it looks more like a civil offense than a criminal offense, because that's what it is a civil offense.
Okay. Thank you, Carly.
Chairwoman Walker.
Congressman Walker.
Okay. Along those same lines, on on C of that same section, going back to line 91, it defines qualified fish or wild game. And the definition basically is the same for either one. Couple questions. Is there a reason why or was qualified fish purposely left out of section 4-102?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. No, there's not any particular reason why. I mean, it just, we can definitely add it.
Right, because, may I continue?
Yes. Chair Woman? Yes.
Because then in B, it says each animal wasted, and that also is in line with the definition portion of qualified fish and wild game. And so then on part C, it says should have their hunting, you know, I'm not advocating for this, I'm pointing it out more so right now, but have their hunting and fishing privileges revoked for 1 year. And the shall language, which is part of C, I don't like that. And there's, I'll give you a couple of examples why. So it says $250 for each animal wasted. That could be for dove or for small bass, or, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to say that that's not an offense, but still, I mean, you know, having a couple doves go to waste and getting a $500 ticket and your hunting privileges taken away for a year, I think that is a bit extreme. I think that shall should be changed to may along those same lines or along that line of thought.
Madam Chair?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not opposed to any types of amendments. I'm glad we're working through this. And I mean, I absolutely can agree with Congressman Walker there. It gives some leeway for the civil penalty if the judge so chooses to revoke the licensure for however long. So I'm definitely open to amendments.
Chairwoman.
Congressman Walker.
Okay, right. And, you know, I'd be glad to make that amendment if you or the sponsor or even in the committee wants me to. I just want to, again, point out that, you know, we're talking about a $250 offense for each animal wasted. I understand a white-tailed deer or even a turkey, but when we start talking about small game and the small game carrying the same offense as big game, I think there needs to be a little bit of differentiation there. And again, that the may gives the discretion to the one that basically is considering the offense that was made. Thank you.
Chair, this is Stabler. Congresswoman Stabler. I'm kind of following along with RJ. Of course, I'm not a hunter. And so but I do lease to coyote hunters. And I don't know if coyotes are considered waste or not waste. So that concern came to mind. But I think we're seeing, we've got some areas, that they're wanting to go back and the specialists are wanting to go back and maybe bring us some new language and drafts. And we've got some other amendments, and I know we've got two other bills. I think unless they want to continue on this discussion, I move that we postpone this to the call of the chair while we get some of those answers.
Second. There's a motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Congresswoman Lemon, we have a commerce meeting on Monday. I can set a meeting for, we've already extended session, so I can set a commerce meeting for Tuesday to put this bill on there if you would like for me to. And if you want to, all the members who are saying they would like to make amendments, if you can work with Congresswoman Lemon, then those could be prepared for Tuesday's meeting, and we might be able to work a little bit more efficiently.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That sounds great.
Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda, hold on just one second. I'm sorry. I'm between calendars. Next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCR 2109, a resolution to authorize and adopt the Articles of Incorporation for the Nonprofit Corporation, the place to borrow money to be formed under the Osage Nation Nonprofit Corporation Code. The sponsor is Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt? I don't see her on the call. Congresswoman Shaw, can you go get her? She's on her way. We're on your bill. ONCR 2109.
Okay, thank you, Chair. These are the Articles of Incorporation, and I need to pull up a copy before me, but it's pretty standard stuff. I don't know who, you know, if you have questions, I can address them. And also, Ms. Candy Thomas is on. And I can't see that far. I need Ms. Candy Thomas and Terry Mason Moore. I've been discussing with them. So if, as we get going, if there's any questions, they are on the line to address. Open for questions. Or Candy Thomas could give, Ms. Thomas could give like an overview of the direction that they're going. This is just in follow-up to the Nonprofit Corporation Code legislation that was passed. There's still much work to do, but this is another step in the process. So,
okay. Candy, would you like to provide any opening remarks for this legislation?
Yes, thank you. As Speaker mentioned, this is the second step in the process. You all have passed and approved the code for nonprofit organizations. And this is the guiding document to establish the Osage Nation CDFI. And as it was mentioned, it's pretty standard. It's just the second step we need to take to officially be able to move forward with our defined structure. And we have a whole timeline that we're working on developing with the next steps, and there's quite a few of them. We've already developed a tentative org chart and job descriptions. We've developed some short-term goals that we're submitting for a NACA NACA grant for technical assistance in helping to develop our structure. We're still defining, this defines the board of directors, and those board of directors will develop and adopt the bylaws for the organization as well as board policies and procedures, and then start on organization policies and procedures. So we have a lot of background work that needs to be done. We've talked with Tri-County about helping us with training for our borrowers, which is a major element in our in the development of the CDFI is borrow education and development. And we've crafted a market survey that's going to go out electronically, hopefully next week, that will give us an idea of what the demands are out there for loans, whether it's consumer or commercial loans. And as I think I've mentioned before, we have even have a loan called a startup loan that'll be from, say, $50,000 to $100,000. We don't have all the parameters set yet, but it's called a credit building loan for people that can't get credit and go to other financial institutions. And maybe they'll just borrow $50 and pay that loan back, but that'll help improve their credit, and then they can move on to a bigger loan. I do want to clarify that somewhere it was mentioned, I did mention the Potawatomis, and somebody asked about their interest rate, and I said it was at 10%. That was Potawatomis, and that's after about 14 years of being organized and having some very large loans. And that's not necessarily where our interest rate's going to be, but it will be at least competitive with banks. And the whole theory of the CDFI is to get people in a stronger financial position so that if they do want to go to a bank, they can. And that's kind of the overview where we are and what our next steps are. I'll be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Any questions for Ms. Thomas? Any questions for Ms. Moore? Or the sponsor? Committee, no questions? Sponsor, would you like to, do you have any other comments that you'd like to make? Any action from the committee?
Chair, this is Jody.
Second speaker, Rebard.
Okay, thank you. I'm not hearing any comments or concerns from our committee, so I don't mind trying to make a motion if this is just, you know, a standard procedure that we need to do that, you know, complements or you know, is required by our articles of incorporation. I don't mind. If we're ready, I'm not hearing any questions, so.
Well, the chair will entertain any motions.
Okay, are you gonna do it then?
No.
Okay, all right then, I'm going to attempt, and I would like to move the resolution ONCR 21-09 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. The next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCA 2148, an act to amend ONCA 2076 to provide a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $350,000 to real estate services to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. We have an executive session on the agenda. Do you want to discuss anything before we go into executive session?
Let's see. I think there's a, is that a public resolution that they Okay. Not yet. So I filed this bill in communication with the executive branch because there are some pieces of land, and it was my understanding it was going to be included in a purchase with the Health Authority Board in conjunction with their spot for the clinic. But they have declined on a particular piece. I'm not sure why exactly. I think that it could still be used for such purposes. Maybe not the specific plan that they had at the time, but they have declined. But it is a piece that the nation would like to own. I think it makes sense to own it. And therefore, since they declined to have it as part of their plan and purchase it with clinic dollars, I filed a bill to take it from the general treasury so that we could hopefully purchase it. If you would like further discussion, we may need to go in executive session because I don't know exactly where they are in the negotiation. I cannot see that far, but I want to see if maybe Mr. Casey Johnson is on the line. Okay. If he would like to provide any additional comments at the moment, while we're in open session, or if we need to go to executive session for any more comments.
Mr. Johnson, do you have any, we're still in open session. We have an executive session if you would prefer to keep your comments in executive session.
I would.
You would?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to enter into executive session for the purposes of discussing confidential and proprietary information.
So moved. Rebar.
We have a motion to enter into executive session with a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We are now going to enter into executive session. Okay. Caller 4.